This podcast is made possible through Echoic, a media company dedicated to building your podcast. Whether you are a business looking to expand your marketing presence or a creative wanting a new outlet for your voice, Echoic is here to help. Visit echoicmedia.com to start your next podcast. Now, on to the show.
Welcome back to the Next Peak Podcast. I'm your host, Clint Herndon, and it is episode 27. We're taking up part two of a conversation that I had with a Navy SEAL codenamed Hank. That's not his real name, but we're protecting the innocent here. And if you missed it, hey, hit the pause button, go back to episode 25 and tune into that. Take out your notepad, though, because you're going to be soaking in a ton of great information from Hank. If you missed it or you just wanted a recap, there's a few things that I'll share with you. He talked about how he learned through the SEALs that preparation is absolutely necessary for success, that nobody wins by accident. It's through deliberate planning and preparation. And he also talked about in that the importance of growth and how you set yourself up for growth by honest reflection and taking yourself out of your comfort zone. So definitely go back, tune into that. And if you remember at the end of that episode, we dug into mental health and the importance of finding balance in your mental health. And he shared from his experience in the military, and I shared a little bit of my experience in law enforcement, and just how important it is to be honest with where you are in life and to get help if you need it and to support those around you that may need that love and encouragement during tough times. And Hank shared at the very end of episode 25 this concept of the wheel of life. And you've got to live a balanced life. And if one little area of your life gets out of whack, think of a corner of your wheel turning into a flat tire. That's just that part of the wheel, right? It doesn't run smoothly. It starts to clunk and makes your ride not comfortable. And really, he applied that analogy to life. And now we're going to dig into some more content with Hank. Thanks for tuning in, guys. You will not regret tuning into this guy and learning life lessons from a Navy SEAL, part two. What are you doing to kind of get this word out? You know, at least in the law enforcement community, it's kind of one of those things that wasn't always spoken about, right? It was, We're all tough, we're all macho guys. You know, we'd see some horrible things, but we wouldn't communicate about it. Is there something that you've learned from this that you're now passing on to other people?
Yeah. So again, like, I'm an open book a lot of the times. Whenever I've learned something new, I've loved sharing it with people, whether it was the Total Money Makeover or, you know, my success of working with our dietitian at work, I would tell the guys at work about it. And the same thing with this. I'm really open to talking about this when I was still active. And when guys would come to me, you know, some guys would scoff. They're like, well, you can handle that later. You can't. Because if you don't handle it now, it'll handle you. And it will put you down really hard like it did me. Fortunately, there's guys who kind of hear that message and they would come to me in private or offline and be like, hey, man, like, I'm just feeling off. Like, I've been feeling weird lately. What do I need to do? And I would just say, hey, I've got the Sykes number like on speed dial. jokingly say that, but in my contacts list, I would ask like, seriously, would you like to just go sit down and talk with mental health and have them hear where you're at and see if there's anything you could be doing better or like something you might need to plug into? And they would say, sure. So I used to joke with the psych over at mental health. I'm like, you guys are going to owe me like a t-shirt or something because I'm sending you guys so many referrals. And so really that's all you can do while you're active duty is just be open and there for the guy you're working to your left and right with. And that's what being a teammate is. And it's so nutty that we don't, like, we've struggled to accept that paradigm of mental and emotional health with our warriors and leaders and law enforcement officers all over the country, because it's hard. But for whatever reason, like, hey, man, I need you to climb this mountain with me. It's going to take 10 days and it's going to be terrible. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Hey, man, I'm having trouble sleeping at night and I can't get my mind to clear. Hey, whoa, don't talk about that, dude. Just stop at the liquor store on your way home. You'll be fine. You know, and that's not the route to take. So for all of you out there listening, if you find yourself in that sort of capacity, one, if someone comes to you and they open up with you, that is a privilege for you to know that they feel that comfortable and safe with you. And then two, please don't shut the door on them. Just open up and ask. Don't inject your opinion. Don't tell them what they need to do. Just be a set of ears for them to pour their heart into and give them a big hug and just help them wherever you can.
And when I've talked to my law enforcement buddies that are still serving, what they're telling me is that this is starting to become a more popular topic, right? I wouldn't say it's safe all the way, but they're starting to do some training and some accountability around this. And it sounds like maybe the military started to grow a little bit in that as well. If you were advising either a law enforcement agency or even just a tech company on how they can make their environment safe for people to just be real, to be human, within boundaries of a safe organization. But what would you tell them? How would you tell them, hey, this is kind of things that you need to be doing to make people feel safe and not cast out when they start being human?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think with success anywhere in an organization, it 100% starts with the leadership. So if you're a leader at an organization, the last thing you need to do is cast stones at the guy who's coming at you with issues, like with the mental health stuff. But then to practice what you preach and just set that tone, because the way you do anything is the way you do everything. So, you know, if we want people to feel safe with mental health, well, that's a really hard one for them to open up about. Let's take a few steps back. Do they feel safe to even pitch ideas about what it is our company is doing? If they don't, well, we can't expect them to feel safe to open up about mental health. So I think promoting that round table discussion that everyone here is on the same plane. There just happens to be a couple other people who drive the train forward in the leadership role, but everyone here is safe to fail. They're safe to learn. They're safe to say, hey, I don't understand. Hey, I need help. Hey, I'm not sleeping at night. And creating that atmosphere of no matter what you're dealing with, we're all here to help, whether it's figuring out how to get a new widget online, or it's because you haven't slept in 3 days because your mind won't shut off, but understanding that we're here to help and serve each other, not just the customers or the consumer of whatever, whoever that organization may be serving.
I love what you just said. The way you do anything is the way you do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way that Hank lives his life?
Well, when it comes to picking my clothes up off the floor, my wife will tell you no. But when it comes, you know, the discipline of staying on top physically and things like that, one, absolutely. I've never been a natural at anything. Everything's been pretty hard for me to learn and grasp and train for. So even with this episode, you and I worked for 2 weeks to get this thing to happen. And I would look at what you sent me and I would take notes and figuring out how am I going to, I don't want to sound like a bumbling idiot.
There's any threat of that happening.
You know, well, that's good. I had you send me, you know, your favorite episodes because I want to hear what it is that you're looking for. So I think just putting my big thing that you'll always learn when you're doing business with me is that I have to put in extra hours of work that most people don't. I wasn't gifted that natural ability to just get out there and crush things. About $1 for every time going through buds. My buddy's like, oh, dude, this is easy. You don't need to worry about this. And I didn't worry about this and I should have worried about that. I'd be a millionaire. But yeah, that recurring theme with me is this guy is putting in work before we get there and he'll be ready.
Well, we can all learn from that for sure. As you've talked about kind of your experience in the military and life in general, it just stands out to me that you're just a stellar guy. You've accomplished incredible things. You're focused on the things that are important with your being a husband to your wife, being a father to your kids. Why? And we talked about this the other day, and this is kind of an important theme, it sounds like, in your life, but Why isn't normal enough for Hank?
I think that is something that I had deep seated in me even when I was young. I've always enjoyed hard work. As weird as that sounds, I think I remember like heading into baseball seasons when I was in second, third, fourth grade. I enjoyed getting out in the yard and throwing the baseball to my dad, going and hitting and taking batting practice to get better for the season. So as far as normal goes, though, I don't want to sound like an elitist. I don't view myself as an elitist. I just want to be far from normal. Normal sucks, quite frankly. So we can talk in your arena. 80% of people live paycheck to paycheck. That means if a $500 incident comes their way, they don't have a way to handle it internally. They have to go borrow money to do it. Why would I ever want to be normal in that aspect? That means they're not going to be ready for retirement. They're going to maybe live off the government in their later years. 70% of people over 20 are obese, meaning they're going to have serious health complications later in life. You know, you had Ken Coleman on your show. 70% of people aren't happy with their job in America. And so what you're seeing is like the bulk of all numbers, people aren't satisfied or in a good place. So why would we ever train to just be normal or mediocre when just giving an extra 10% daily will take you to the next peak or the high ground or that next level in life that you're looking to achieve? So, and all it takes is effort and starting and like getting that foot out the door and going somewhere. So if you've been on the fence for a while of, you know, I've been waiting. I just need the time to get right. I don't have the time right now. Maybe when I'm not busy. The fact of the matter is that life doesn't get easier as you get older. It gets busier. You get more kids. You get married. You have more responsibilities. And it only gets harder to keep your head above water. So wherever you're at in life, now is the perfect time. Because in 10 years, you're going to look back and wish you had. And I've been super guilty of that. Like, I wish I'd found the Total Money Makeover 15 years before I found it, but I didn't. And that's kind of who we're always chasing, is that better version of us that's 10 years down the road from where we're at right now. That's somewhere you'll never get. And that's a great thing to constantly chase, because you're chasing yourself. You're not comparing yourself to others. And it'll keep you from ever having that mindset of, I've arrived, I can stop now.
Mm-hmm. And if you compare yourself to normal or to everybody else, you really don't find your own purpose, right? You don't achieve the goals that are sent for you or made for you.
Right.
You miss out on that. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I just, not to sound morbid here, but could you imagine getting really bad medical news and getting told you've only got 3 months to live and you never once did anything in life that you genuinely wanted to do for you and pursue and get out there and be vulnerable and get out there and fail and get out there and get punched in the mouth and get out there and learn and grow and go become the best version of you that you were meant to do. That I think that would be the greatest miss out in a lifetime, is to be looking down death's door and going, man, I never got out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. I just lived a normal life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the other stats that you shared with me the other day, which a lot of people probably know, is that 50% of marriages fail.
Yeah.
Right. So if we're normal, then it's okay to have a failed marriage. It's okay to, you know, have a kid that every third or fourth kid that ends up in trouble with the law, right? That's okay. That's mm-hmm. normal.
Right. And what's crazy of the stat about marriages is if one in two fail and go through divorce, well, that's still 50%, but how many of those that don't get divorced are just crap marriages in general?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how many people do you know that are more like two roommates than an actual husband and wife? And that's something that once, when I was young and single, I was like, man, I'll never get married. I'm SEAL teams till I die. And not once I met my wife, man, like all that flipped the script. And I enjoyed pouring into that just as much and actually more than I ever did in the SEAL teams. And it's way more fruitful and beneficial and healthier. And but man, like, and if you're out there and your marriage is struggling, grab that thing by the reins and go see a professional and work with a marriage counselor, do things like attend FPU and take that marriage to the next level, because that may be one of the ultimate ways to grow, is having a spouse that allows you to grow and pushes you to be better. And in the Bible, it says a strong wife is far greater than rubies and jewels. And it's 100% right, man. Like there's no monetary value you can put on having a quality spouse. Mm.
I will second that thought for sure. Absolutely love my wife and the support that she has given me in my life. The one of the concepts that I picked up on a few years ago was the slight edge. And I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Slight Edge.
I haven't. I've heard you allude to it.
Okay. So we talk about that a lot. But one of the concepts that I picked up on that years ago was just this idea of taking steps, taking daily steps. So you're talking about marriage, you're talking about, you know, buds training, anything, right? It's just doing the things today that are going to get me successful in the long run. And the reason I bring that up in talking about marriage is that I know people who've been married for 20 years who maybe 2-3 years into their marriage already realize, like, man, I'm really not that happy, but I'm committed. I'm going to be here. And they just kind of go through the motions. And I go, man, why didn't you just start today with something positive? Why don't you just pick up the phone and call a counselor? It's not going to fix it tomorrow. But if you start the process now, you'll be further down the road than if you wait 5 years, you're going to look back and go, well, we could have been working on this for 5 years. Now we're right in the same spot or in a worse spot that we have. Mm-hmm. What are you telling people, you know, how do you communicate this to other people around you? It sounds like you guys have grasped this, but what are you doing now to kind of, you know, expand this to either people that you worked with or people in your community and kind of moving forward into the future?
Well, I think the best thing you can do is to do it and to live it. It's one thing to actually tell people these things that you're around, but it's a whole nother thing when they see you doing it. So if you're, it may be like, let's say you have a friend and let's say your wife has a friend and the friend's a girl and she's complaining to your wife about her marriage and everything. Well, the last thing that girl needs is for you and your wife to point your finger and scold them and say, this is what you need to be doing. Da, 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 da. Well, what you need to do to get that message out there and across to them is to live the standard that you want them to know about and then walk with them in the process. So if we're open about it, like we've gone to marriage counseling, you know, like, oh, shoot me. Sorry. You know, we want to be optimal, but sharing those lessons to people and opening up with that vulnerability will really allow them to see where, oh, okay, it is okay to see a counselor. Yes, it is going to hurt. Yeah, we are going to touch some nerves, but it's going to benefit us, not even in the long run. I mean, within weeks or months, you'll probably be reaping the rewards of that and just constantly living that example that you want people to know.
Yeah, there is no better way to teach it. You're absolutely right. So, looking forward into the next area of your life, what are your next peak goals that you're climbing towards now? And what are you doing to kind of grow personally and professionally to achieve those goals?
Well, there's a lot. So you had Chris Hogan on your show too. And Chris is a wonderful, wonderful person. I've met him a couple times, and each time I met him, he has asked me stuff about like the last engagement he and I had. So like how my new kid was doing. He is a great human being. But anyway, for those of you who don't know about Chris, he's an author, wrote a book called Everyday Millionaire. And it's about how to become a millionaire. It's not a get rich quick scheme. It is simply, if you do this, you'll be a millionaire when you retire. So we're chasing that goal right now. And then just continually growing physically. I've got goals written down that I want to get my 5K time back under 20 minutes. And still trying to read 2 books a month and just little things like that, without getting too personal and too in-depth on everything. But basically I keep a wheel of life, and I'm just with this spoke, what do I need to do to grow? With this spoke, what do I need to do to grow? With this spoke, what do I need to do to grow? And then making sure you're not growing too far in one direction and another lags behind.
I love what you're saying. And you have this theme that you've shared from the very beginning of our talk today about preparation. And you just talked about Chris Hogan. That's why I actually thought of this. In his book, Everyday Millionaires, he says, I was talking to some of them about military preparation. I asked how they're able to adapt so quickly when something goes wrong. They said something like, actually, things never really go wrong because we plan for and train for everything. If something happens that derails one plan, we just move on to the next.
Mm-hmm.
is that something that comes from the military training?
Yeah, my wife gets kind of irritated with me sometimes because I never plan on anything working the way it's supposed to. And she goes, yeah, but it always works. And my response is, it works till it doesn't, you know?
Right.
I think I've been like so scarred from things just going so sideways and cattywampus that I'm in this perpetual state of things don't go wrong because things also never really go right either. And so, like, for instance, if you're on a road trip and you have a tire blowout, and you're like, well, there goes our blowout. We got that behind us. Now we can carry on.
Right. Something had to come on the road trip.
Yeah, something had to happen, and there it is.
Yeah. That's awesome. So that's an interesting thing that I think comes probably more naturally to somebody that's been in the military, right? Mm-hmm. Is you're always planning and thinking, and, okay, if this plan doesn't go the way we wanted to, then we're going to respond this way. And law enforcement's the same way. Like when we trained on the SWAT team, you know, if you enter this room and it goes this way, you're going to respond this way. If it goes that way, you're going to respond and use plan B. For somebody that hasn't gone into the military, hasn't gone into law enforcement, doesn't have that background, what are ways that they can get their mindset around that concept of preparing in different ways, not just the way you want it to go?
Right. You know, I really don't know. I'll give you the best answer I can. I think purveying to someone. So let's say we have a guy who is a professional speaker, and the only thing he worries about is memorizing what's written down on his paper. What I would sit down with that guy is teach him not just to memorize the paper, but understand the message. And then, hey man, are you ready to go first? He's like, no. Well, I'm last in the lineup. I'm like, yeah, but are you ready to go first? And that's, no, I'm not. Well, hey, look, you're not hearing what I'm telling you, man. I understand the way you prep is to be the final speaker of this event, but can you prep and train and have everything ready? So if you do get asked to go first, you're ready for it. And that's really kind of the best analogy I can think of, is that, yeah, you still may do the act of whatever it is that you're trying to do, but it may be in a whole different way. It may be in a different time, place, and setting. And just that constant state of being flexible and ready to flow and change. But fortunately, you know your product so well, you can't be shaken. You know, how many times do you think Chris Hogan has talked about becoming a millionaire? I bet you could not shake Chris right now if for the like of you, because that dude's so dialed in on presenting his content. So Chris inevitably would be someone who's very flexible and ready to plan contingencies and other weird things that may happen. So really just knowing your craft so well that no matter what happens, you're ready to deliver whenever it needs to be delivered.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I got to watch Chris speak last year at the Entree Leadership Master Series, and he absolutely is what you're describing. He's so prepared. He knows his material, but he's also ready to respond to the audience, because there was actually somebody that said, like, yelled something, you know, it wasn't negative. It wasn't to chastise him, but he responded to something Chris was saying, and Chris immediately just turned and responded to him. And it was like this very casual, comfortable thing, because he was prepared. He wasn't taken off his script by that.
And to further that, the role he is in is not a speaker on stage. He is a teacher purveying a message who's ready to engage. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be the big thing we should look at here with preparation and ready to be flexible if something may happen. What if it wasn't Chris Hogan? What if it was someone else who was just giving that exact same speech, if you will, and that's the only thing they were ready to do? They weren't ready to handle an audience and their energy or any questions that may arise. So on Chris, though, I was at an event one time and someone had their iPad and they wanted a recording, so they held the iPad up and just recorded while he was talking, and he looks over and goes, hey, it's time to learn now, put that thing away. Just without missing a beat.
That's awesome.
Shaking though, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're looking back at your life experiences, either from the military or outside the military, what are the top three lessons from your life that you'd like to pass on to people that are listening?
One, it will be harder than you think. I don't care what it is. It being life mainly, it's going to require a lot more intentionality. It's going to be harder. It's going to challenge you more, but it'll also be way more worth it than you ever thought. I think we could expound on that for a long time, but I'm going to take us to number two. Number two, I alluded to earlier, you are your hero, not anyone else. If you find yourself up at 2 a.m. and some self-help program is on the TV and telling you how they're going to fix your life and they're going to take you here and they're going to take you there, just change the channel. No one is going to do better things for you than you can do for you. And then number three, just take a wrap off. Don't be so wound tight. Don't take things so seriously. Don't grip the wheel so tight where you become like me and you go through bouts where you're dealing with anxiety and fear and paranoia to the point where you can't sleep, to the point where you're scared to leave your house because you're worried something might happen to your family. Just take a wrap off, take a breath, take time to chill, take time to reflect and relax. Use the weekend to be a weekend. You don't have to be go, go, go all the time. And in fact, if you want to be better at go going, sometimes you have to stop and just really recharge your batteries. So those are three big ones that I've learned the hard way, but I think that's three that everyone can take on board of. It's going to be harder than you thought. Relax and reflect where you can, and don't take it so seriously.
That's awesome. And I love that you are your hero, right? You're the one that's going to be able to solve your problems, not some guy on the television. So you read a lot. And I always ask this question of all my guests because I just think because we're all like-minded, we can learn from each other. We can pick up from somebody's reading list. What are the top three books that you have picked up on and why should everybody read them?
I have a lot of books. First, I will kick off with this book called Legacy by James Kerr. So Legacy is an in-depth look at the rugby team, the All Blacks of New Zealand. For those of you who have never heard of them, the All Blacks are the most successful sports franchise in the entire world. I mean, like, think if the Lakers, Yankees, and Alabama, the University of Alabama football, all compiled their trophies together, they, like, wouldn't have half of the world titles that the All Blacks have. It's a really interesting book, and they are super growth-minded. It shows how they handle conflict. It shows how they grow. It shows how they plan, how they use strategy. It's a wonderful look at how one of the highest performing organizations ever does day-to-day business. And what's really cool is that book alludes to a lot of other books. So if you don't have any books on your docket, read that one and then just start writing the books down that are found inside of it that they allude to. Number two would be Entree Leadership by Dave Ramsey. So obviously, like, I'm big in that big in that arena. I'm not going to say I'm big in that organization. I don't work there. I believe in everything that they put out. Entree Leadership is a look at how Dave Ramsey and Ramsey Solutions runs and functions and how they treat team members, how they treat the customer, how they plan. That one is really, really cool. And then third, I might have to give you more than three. I apologize.
That's okay. I won't limit you.
Okay. Number three is The Ideal Team Player by Pat Lencioni. And that basically is a fable. So Pat used to, I think, no. Pat didn't work at Chick-fil-A. That was Mark Miller. The Ideal Team Player is a fable written about a construction crew. And they get a new CEO, and he discovers that they have a very toxic environment. The whole thing has to be overhauled. They have big projects coming. But what it does is it talks through the three traits that identify the best team players of being humble, hungry, and smart. So if you've ever found yourself trying to build a better team or wanting to be a better team player, that book, and actually all three books that I alluded to, are really good reads. And then fourth, to tie in with taking a wrap off and not taking things so seriously, is Oh, the Places You Will Go by Dr. Seuss. It's so profound. If you've never read it, it'll take you 6 minutes. It's nuts. But it starts off as you, the reader, the journey. And it even talks through people who will be passive, and that's not for you. That's called The Waiting Place inside of that book. But it talks about leaving town, going through ups and downs, the roads you like, the roads you don't. Sometimes you turn left, sometimes you turn right, you know. But man, that book is just like really, really good. It's a good reminder of what life's going to consist of. And then sometimes it's just going to be silly. Don't take it so seriously, you know.
So is that required reading in the Navy SEALs, Dr. Seuss?
No, it should be.
Right? Hey, that's awesome, man. Thank you so much for sharing everything. Is there anything else that you want to share before we wrap up today?
I don't. You know what? I will. For any of your listeners who are out there who are still on the fence right now, and I'm talking to the people who may be dealing with anxiety or a loved one with anxiety and other mental health issues, it's okay. Like, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I know it's a hard place to be, but it will end, and it can end. It will end wonderfully. Just seek help. Tell people how you feel. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel ashamed, and don't be embarrassed about any of the life byproducts you might be dealing with right now. We're all human. And for those of you who may have a loved one dealing with that, just remember we're all humans trying to walk each other home. And that's all we can do is just love and offer grace to one another.
Man, of everything that you've shared today, I think that's probably the most important message that we all need to hear. It's just being human. Mm-hmm. We all deal with it. I shared a little bit about my story about 15 episodes ago in dealing with anxiety and all the things that came from my law enforcement background. So I appreciate you sharing that, being open about that. And yeah, we absolutely encourage everybody to accept each other, love each other, and accept people that they're doing their best in life, right? They're mm-hmm. not starting the day out deciding I'm going to give the crummiest version of myself to the world. They're giving their best. And so I appreciate what you're sharing about the anxiety piece. Anything else before we wrap up, sir? I appreciate this time with you.
That's it, man. It's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to do it again.
Man, I took so many notes. I think this has probably been the most note-filled session for sure. So, hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed this time with Hank and his life story and his time in the SEALs. So many nuggets. If you listen to this while you were out gardening or out running or driving to work, you know you're going to have to listen to it again because you got to take notes. You got to go back and put this stuff in your journal and just start taking it in. But thanks for joining us on the Next Peak podcast. This has been a two-part series, episode 25 and episode 27. And we're just so blessed that you guys joined us. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, download, and leave us reviews on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. Until next week, keep climbing your next peak.